Okay, so basically, we're continuing on with the yesterday. Namely, there's, by Rebbe at least, you see there's two things. There's halacha, let's say he could be a machal on his kavod, but even if he's a machal on his kavod, he still have to do either. Okay, you still have to stand. Okay, fake stand, do a half stand, a whole stand, whatever it is, but you have to do either. So we said the idea is that, because a Rebbe is really two things. Is on the one hand, he's your Rebbe, and that demands kavod. But that he can be mochel on. But then on the other hand, he is objectively, he is Talmud Chacham. So since Talmud Chacham, you have to demonstrate his nature, that he's a chashuv guy. So that demands that you, that also demands that you stand up. Okay, where you demonstrate that quality. So therefore, that, but then he can't be mochel, that's an objective thing. Objectively, that's, you have to recognize who he is. But so that he can't be machal. That he can't be machal. That's the machal. That's the chiyuv of hidah. That's not machal hidah. The question, the machlokas Rashi and Rama, is whether that demands that you actually do a full action of standing, or just that which will produce the effect of demonstrating his the hidah. Okay, but that was the machlokas. But that's what we said for Talmud. Okay, the question now is by a father, do you have the same thing? If a father's mochel on his kavod, do you still do hidur or not? Do you still do hidur or not? So, seems like I think the Rambam doesn't have it. But it's, the Ritva brings down that the Ritva has it, and the Meiri has it also. The Rosh says only by Rabbi. I mean, it's a big machlokes Rishonim. Yeah, okay. So that's the question. So on the surface, he says you can see why it applies by a rabbi, because the rabbi is like to the Nabi Sachar Kavod, he's objectively a Talmud Chacham. But by a father, how's that going to work? And if there is a halacha of hidur by a rabbi, by a father also, so it means you can't just sit there and ignore him. So then why is it that you have the story of the Gemara where the guy could get angry at his father? As long as his father is mochel, it seems like it's okay to get angry at the father. So you get angry at him, why can't you just sit there? Okay, so there's a question, right? Okay, so something like this, I mean, I think along David's lines, but the question is when the Gemara is saying is that by a Rebbe, even though the Rebbe's mochel, there's still hidur. Even though he's mochel in his kavod, there's still hidur. Okay, why is that? What's that idea? So you could say, because really, kavod he's machalan. But to a rabbi, there's two things. Besides, for the fact that he is your rabbi, he's also objectively a talmud chacham, and that generates a chiyuv din hidur, and the din hidur is unmochalable. Yeah, you can't be mochal. That's an objective demonstration of who he is. So rabbi involves two things. He involves your rabbi, which is kavod. That's kavod. That's 100% machal. But then the fact that he's a talmud chacham generates a different halacha of hidur, an objective demonstration of who he is, and in that doesn't lend itself to mechila. So that's the case. Then that doesn't make sense by father. By father, you don't have that objective. Like he's not an objective anything. He can be an amaretz. He's your father. So there's din of kavod, but he's machal on his kavod. So now there's nothing else. But you could say is that no. So when the Gemara says afilu hachi hidur ba'yad meva, they still do hidur, it means like this, is that it's like kavod includes hidur. So he holds that the mitzvah of kavod is you have to honor him. Now what does honor him mean? It means there's two things. It means first of all you do all his needs, you can take care of his personal things, but it also involves an objective component. Besides for his personal things, there, even if he's mocha all his personal things, kavod demands an objective demonstration as well. It meets his needs, but there is like a baseline of kavod. The baseline of kavod is hidur. There is an objective component to kavod. Kavod includes that you take care of his, you go beyond just hidur. See, like an old guy, for instance, is only hidur. You only have to do hidur, there's no kavod. But kavod is like a furtherance. It's not only that you have to demonstrate that he's unique, but you have to be mechabed him in all respects, take care of all his needs and all, you know. But the component of kavod is that you're objectively showing that he is respected. There's kavod as an objective thing. He's a respectable guy, demonstrating he's a respectable guy. And it also involves his needs. So it has an element in kavod. That's what we're saying. Afiloch, is mochel. Yeah, but kavod also has hidor. Afiloch, you can be mochel on the subjective elements of kavod, but kavod has at its core, there's an idea of kavod. He's a respected guy. So you have to show that you have to do something. And hidor is the method of the baseline of demonstrating his respect. So therefore, any time you can have kavod, named by a father, by a nazi, by a rabbi, whatever it is that kavod has those two elements to it. It has hidur as its baseline. It is his needs, which he could send them to be machal on. But kavod involves an objective demonstration as well, which is hidur. So therefore, you're always going to have to do hidur. You can't be machal hidur. I mean, but the others, let's say the Rambam, it doesn't learn that kavod includes hidur. No, kavod and hidur are two totally different things. Kavod is his needs, and that applies by someone where you have a relationship, a personal type of relationship with them. And hidur is an objective demonstration. It happens to be a filochic hidur by him, because by a rabbi, he happens to overlap both worlds. He's on the one hand, he's your rabbi, and there's a personal thing, which he can be mochel. But on the other hand, he's also, in the objective world, he's tam chacham. So therefore, he still have to do a hidur. But if that's the case, it's not going to carry over to father, which who doesn't partake of those two worlds. Form is a furtherance. As a concert, hidur, kavod is like a full-blown form of hidur. Hidur is like the baseline, is an objective demonstration that he is special. So you have to demonstrate your father special. But not only that, I mean, that's just a minor thing. Just demonstrate special. You stand up when he walks into the room. But that's not enough. You have to not only just demonstrate special, but you also have to be involved in kavod on yira, and his needs, and in war, you know, not sitting in his place, and all that, you know. So even though you demonstrated he's special by kavod, you have to do more than that. But that more than that is to involve as nitan to him. And that's the lens of the mechila. But even if he's mochel everything, you still have to do the objective element of it, which is hidur. And that's what we're saying. Is he's mochel? No, kavod involves an objective thing as well, so that he can't be mochel. It's the lens of the mechila. But according to the Rambam, no, kavod is a totally separate thing. Kavod is really him. Kavod is totally subjective. The nature of kavod is totally subjective. And the whole thing is to respect him. Whatever he says. That's kavod is 100% subjective according to the Rambam. But when the Gemara says, there's still hidur, you know, because hidur is because the Talmud Chacham, your Rebbe, happens to also be a Talmud Chacham who partakes of a entirely different world of hidur, when that's an objective world. Now that, he can't be mochel. So your Rebbe is going to partake of hidur, not because of the kavod involves hidur, because hidur is a separate thing, and the Talmud Chacham happens to overlap, and the Rebbe overlaps two institutions. But an Av, who doesn't overlap those two institutions, only has kavod, it's going to be 100% subjective, and he can be mochel.
Everyone says no. Okay.
There's definitely hidur is like an objective demonstration. It's objectified in that it doesn't lend itself to mechila. It's an objective demonstration of a status. But the Rambam learns that is only appropriate by someone who has an objective status, who in the world is really objectively a great person, namely Talmud Chacham. So an objective demonstration is restricted, according to the Rambam, to someone who has an objective status. Is a zakein, a chacham, an old guy, whatever objective status. It doesn't belong in the world of a father. But according to the Ritva, it's an objective demonstration, but it could be on someone who has significance to me subjectively, but the Torah's mechayev that I express in a baseline way, I express his subjective significance by doing an objective expression. Yep. I mean, I'm doing it as an objective expression of his subjective value, but expression is objectified. Drama is objective expression only by someone who has an objective value.
And the Gemara?
Oh, so that other thing, the contradiction of the Gemara about why it is that you're allowed, that you could be mochel, the father's mochel, then you get angry at the father. But I think because the question is like this, is that what's the baseline? What is this din of hidur? Torah is mechayev according to Ritva, let's say in hidur, which means that there's a baseline is that you have to do something. There is a baseline of objective demonstration. What did Torah koveya as the baseline? So Torah koveya standing up. That was the base. That is the objective. And you have to say, yes, Torah, what was the Torah koveya? See, kavod isn't the baseline. Kavod is a whole attitude. Kavod is an attitude towards him, and that attitude is all part of the subjective and is given over to mechila. But now they're saying is besides for the whole attitude, there is a Torah's koveya, a baseline objective demonstration. And that was standing. That's the Torah's koveya. It was koveya, a certain thing. And that doesn't, that baseline doesn't include, he can't get angry at him. Whereas the baseline objective demonstration was fixed at a certain surah, certain things. So that doesn't involve the whole attitude and relationship. Relationship and attitude is all part of the kavod. That's all part of kavod, which is nitzon to mechila. And the father in that case, Rav Avraham, was mogul. He's mogul on that whole attitude. And you're getting angry at him and you relate to him funny and, you know. Yeah, but he's mogul. That's all part of the kavod. That's all part of that world of kavod and yira. But the objective is the Torah was mechayiv in a positive way that you demonstrate that he's not just an ordinary guy. And how did it say that? Stand up for him. So I am standing up for him. So that's why, it's not like, the reason why I have to stand up isn't because by ignoring him I'm shaming him. It's not, see, if that were the case, then well, by getting angry I'm shaming him. No, it's because the Torah is mechayiv in Hidur. And Hidur means an objective demonstration, namely standing for him. So that doesn't, so I am standing for him. I stand for him and then I yell and I get angry at him. Whatever. It's an objectified thing. It doesn't mean my relationship. The relationship is all part of kavod, which is nitan to mechila. Subjective. Maybe let's see. But now what I'd like to do now is the retort which they had when they were when he was serving. So the story was that Rava was serving at his son's wedding. And he gave a kos to Papa and Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, and they stood for him. And then he gave the kos to Rav Mari and Rav Pinchas, brother of Chista, and they didn't stand. So he got angry at the second group, the non-standers, and said, what? You guys are Rabbanon, and they aren't Rabbanon? In other words, you guys are so chashuv that you didn't stand up for me, but those guys are the bums, and they're lower guys, and therefore they did stand up for me? Well, it's obviously not, right? You're all Rabbanon, so they stood up for me, so what's getting into you? Why aren't you standing up for me? He's rebuking them. He's rebuking them, Rashi says. It says, "Atem chacham v'shachashuvim be'ineichem." Shlom, atem chacham. Do you guys think you're so chashuv in your own eyes that you didn't stand up for me? Rabban chavareichem, the company lav rabbanon inu, and your friends who stood up aren't so rabbanon. Is that the way you think it is? So that was his rebuke, right? And the Gemara basically showed the reason why is because they had at least two hidor. So even though he was melech, he would be mochel. They had at least two hidor. So he's rebuking them for not doing hidor. By this thing, by saying is that those guys, you guys are big rabbis and they're not big rabbis, well they stood, why didn't you stand? Right? So the question we asked is, why didn't he just say, look, why didn't you guys stand? Why didn't you guys do either? What's this, why is he phrasing it like, well, they, well, they're them and you're you. What does that have to do with you? I mean, you made a mistake. What does it do with them?
Is your question?
It's inclusion of other guys. Okay. Yeah, my question is the inclusion of other guys. It doesn't make, like if someone did something wrong, like I just feel like, what are you saying? Well, the other guys didn't do the right thing. Like I feel like it's like in kindergarten, you know, and in the grade school, you say, well, look at the good guy, the good institutions did it good, so why didn't you do it good? That's not a rebuke. The rebuke is you did something wrong. What is like the relative standard is a childish standard. The objective should be the thing. Look, this isn't right. You guys should have stood. Right? That's what you should have said. You guys think you're such Rabbanon that you didn't stand? What? Because they did the right thing. So what is that? That doesn't make my thing any worse because they did it right. I mean, I did, and if they didn't do it, and let's say no one stood, then what? Then you wouldn't have had a rebuke. No one stood also would be a rebuke. By the way, just to digress for a second, just the way the Meiri formulated the halacha they have to do hidor, the Meiri is like the Ritva, that it was also by the father. But basically, he says is that af b'masha machlo mikvodam, even that which they were mochel on their kavod, roi shlo yikavel mehem, it's roi that you won't accept it from them, ela b'hidor u'besirov.
What does that mean?
Sirov is like hesitance. It's like you're making yourself, like you're recognizing that it's not really proper. Whereas I'm doing it because I have to, because you're mochel, and you know, and you're telling me not to stand. But I'm hesitant. I really want to show, like I really should be standing, and I really, you know, the kavod really kavod's in place, and I want to be doing kavod. But you're mochel, so I'm not, you know. So showing is it's like the. It's like the kavod, the most basic form of the kavod. And that's what I'm putting into it. He doesn't say that, but I'm saying that that's what he means. Because it means this is the basic form of kavod. You have to at least do
it's
that.
It's not disregard of the kavod.
It's not disregard of the kavod. Right, exactly. I don't know if somebody's going to listen to him, but I still have to show something. I can't not do anything. I just have to at least do something, you know. Yeah, okay. But back to this other thing about the rebuke. Why is he including them? So I think what you're saying, so let me just to get
hard to say right. Why we've done it if right. They didn't see it.
So the question is like this. Did the second guys know, did they notice that the first guy stood? Okay, did they know that? So according to David's shot, it seems he's saying, yeah, they knew. So now the thing is like this, is that if they just didn't stand, I'm elaborating a little bit, tell me if you disapprove. If they just didn't stand, you'd say, look, it's true they should have stood, and they made a mistake, but look, he was serving to them, right? He was doing something which had an implied mechila. They lost sight of, they lost track of themselves. It's true it was a mistake, but they didn't realize it was a certain kind of a thing. It's true it was bad, but they didn't realize. They got caught up. They're in the thing. The situation did lend itself to mechila, and they missed the point. But it's to a certain degree, you could say it was excusable. Okay, well, I don't want to be total, but that's one level. But here, you see that they were in the party, and you see the other guys basically did this, so to speak, like a reminder in your face that even though he's serving, he's still the great Rava, and he still stands for him. And still, even though that was the case, you still got caught up. Even though you saw these guys stand up, somehow you can't just say I got lost in the moment, because there was a reminder in the moment. You didn't say you got the party situation. I thought Rava was really the low guy. I mean, they stood for him, so it must be that. Well, why didn't you stand? It must be that when you saw those guys stand, somehow you looked at them, oh, those lowly guys, they stood. But we somehow emotionally, you were able to distinguish between them and you, and to make them being like lowly guys who have to stand anyways. But us, we're Rava serving to us. We're really Rava's equals. I mean, like, they're just pointing out that must have been what was going on. There's one thing if you say you got lost in the party. But here it involves another thing, is that in your mind, you must have looked down at them relative to Rava, and looked up at yourselves relative to Rava. Because you see, they had to stand for Rava, so you explain, they could, of course. Because they're compared to Rava, they're nothing. But us, we're Rabbanan compared to Rava. He's serving to us, and we don't have to stand.
You're saying slightly different than me, I think. I was saying that it was
enough. I'm saying he's pointing out, it must have been. He's pointing out.
Right, exactly.
No, there's one thing is that, first thing, there's two points. You're right, I think they're both true, David. Because on the one hand, he's saying is the fact that you didn't stand for them, for Rava, is worse because you had someone standing, someone who reminded you to stand, and you still didn't stand. But now that begs the question, is if someone reminded you, so then how were you able to do it? First of all, you lost sight of Rava, but how do you lose sight of Rava if they just reminded you of who Rava is? Right. So he's imputing to them what must have been going on in their minds. Namely, they were putting themselves above these other guys and looking down, saying, those guys are low relative to Rava and I'm high relative to Rava. So that must have been, with the reminder, you could impute that because of the fact they saw the other guys, it involved another dimension. And that apparently yelled was like was the stronger aspect of it. Apparently, you didn't just not, you know, that I guess it includes both, you know, because it means you're putting yourselves up and therefore not standing for up. But it seems like in his rebuke that he held that was like the, because I guess it makes sense. Sometimes a guy, there is such a thing as a guy getting lost in a situation. You know, I mean, and it's true it's a mistake. But there's such a thing as being, you know, you lose sight of yourself. I'm not saying it's good, but that's one level. But if there is a reminder and you see you miss the reminder, it reflects a further degree of being steeped in the emotion. You know what I mean? As it shows a further level if you could if you do your chait even though there's a reminder. You know what I mean? The reminder should remind you, and if it doesn't. It's one thing to do a chait without having a reminder. It's a high level guy. It doesn't need a reminder. But even though there's a good reminder and you still do it, then it's a further, it demands a further rebuke. You know, and the nature of the rebuke is he's showing a new dimension. Also, is the relative, you know, the rabbi. Now, I'd say a different pshat. I mean, it could be like this is the assumption. This pshat is that they saw them. That they saw the first guys, right? If you say not, I think you could argue, is that they'll say that they could have a taina. Look, Rava was serving us. And it's true, you can't expect us to. You can't expect us to realize that. It's true, there's halacha of Hidur, but the situation was such that basically the cards were stacked against us. You know, they can make a taina that it's not reasonable to expect us to remember that at that point. You know, I mean, like that could be a taina, you could say. It's like, look, there is such a thing, a situation where all the factors are pointing against us, and you know, and therefore you can't blame us. Look, we're a victim of the circumstance. It's true, it's a chait, but look, after all, the circumstance was, you know. But he's saying, as you see, the other guys, they saw stood up. You know, they're big. You know, they're not such a. They're such great, different level from you. And it was apparently the situation was one which was not so you know, so crazy, so impossible to pick up on. They picked up on it, so it must be that you really have this underlying midah that you you feel like you're so special, and therefore you missed it. Don't blame it on the situation, because they also had the exact same situation. They realized it. Rather, it's because of your arrogance, an element of arrogance that you have. Which is affecting you. Can't just say, like, a person always rationalizes. So, like, a person can always rationalize the chay. Like, I can't help it. It's too hard. The situation is too hard, you know? Right. But when you see, when there's another guy who's in the exact same situation and he did handle it, so now it's much harder to say, I couldn't do it. I mean, you did it, why couldn't you do it? Okay, so let's just do the Gemara for the next thing. That's it. So the next thing, the Gemara says like this. Just get the problem here. So it says, Amar Rav Ashi. Ashi's the last one in line. It's like 10 lines down on base and base. Amar Rav Ashi. Afil man Amar Rav Shemachol Kvodo. Kvodo Machol. Nasi Shemachol Kvodo and Kvodo Machol. So even if you say that a Rebbe could be Machol on his Kvodo, Nasi cannot be Machol on his Kvodo. Okay? Mm-hmm. Why? We don't know. But that's what he's saying. Okay? Meisvei. Meisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Ben Sadduk, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Sadduk, Shri Mesub, Mibbai, Beis HaMishra, Beno, Shel Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, Omeidu Mashka Aleyah. So Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, who was serving them wine. So Nasa, not close to Rabbi Eliezer, Velo Notlo. So he gave him a cup, and Rabbi Eliezer didn't take it. Nasa, Rabbi Yeshua, Bekevlo. Rabbi Yeshua did take it. Amar Lo, Rabbi Eliezer, Maza Yeshua. Anu Yoshbim, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Omeidu Mashka Aleyno, and he's serving us. Right? How could it be? He's a Nasi. Right? It's very nice. He's Mochal, but he can't be Mochal. Amar Lei, Matsinu Gadol Mimenu Shashimesh. Avram, Gadol Adora Ave. Oh, yeah. Because of Bavu Omeid Aleyim. You serve to the Malachim. Right? B'Shem Atomer Kamalachai Sharasnin Mulo. Right, you say, because that was their malachim. Then they really looked at him like Arabs. He didn't know that they were malachim. He thought they were Arabs.
So how was he
like? Anu, right. So Anu, did you see Avravino was able to be mashkel now? So we say, it was greater than Avravino. So if it was good enough for Avravino, it will be good enough for us. Right? Fair enough. Amr Rabbi Tzadok. And Mose Atanir Menichem. Kvodo shel makom ve'atavos can cover the brios. That's why you're thinking like you're talking about cover of Adam. You show that an Adam actually serves Hakadosh Baruch Hu meishiv ruchos mala nesiim u'morid matar u'masmiach adama ve'orech shulchan lefnei kalachad ve'achad ve'anu lo yerum gamliel v'rabbi omer u'mashke aleinu. So in other words, the kind of forget about it. People, Avram Ravinu, Hashem, you see, is the ultimate borei olam, and you see, he's doing all these things for the brios, for man, preparing us, giving us all our stuff. So you see, he himself does it. So you tell me that in Rabbi Gamliel can't be machlon's kavod. Hashem is Avram's machlon's kavod. Even Hashem is machlon's kavod. So what are you getting so bent out of shape with the fact that Rabbi Gamliel is serving us, right? So Eliyad Marhachi Admar. Amar Ravashi, Afilu Mandamar, Nasi Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machal, Melech Shemachal Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machal. Shneimar Son Tosun Chamelech Shtevetem Asun Adacha. No, you're right, I agree. That if you say that a Rebbe can be Machal's Kavod, if you say that a Rebbe can be Machal's Kavod, then Nasi also. That, forget about it. But a king, that already, a king can't, because you have to place upon you a king that his ema, his fear should be upon you.
So I mean, leap off the page.
Right. So the question is the other page. I guess what's the king? The king thing is fine. It sounds like about God.
Yeah. I mean, like
right. For the king part, that we have to look at the Gemara and Ksubos. But if you see quotes in Gemara Ksubos, there's a Rashi there who explains a little bit.
Where
the Lima.
Say that?
Ksubos? On the star, on the side. But the question is, I guess, for starters, what's the back and forth about whether Rebbe could be Machlokes Kavanah? Why would you say Rebbe could be different? And then what's these disproofs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from, right? Is there Rashi here? He told them to wash their feet. So he says, apparently he thought they were Arabs. Right. Okay, that's it. Okay? So that's that.